let's leave Europe. We're gonna go ahead and head over to Africa. So yeah, AFCON qualifying starts on Wednesday. You got Benin, Rwanda kicking things off for us. So what are your thoughts on AFCON?
Yeah, so we're at an interesting point, and I think these match days, match day three, match day four, the way that Africa constructs their schedule, you've got all home and aways, right? Like each of the two teams are going to be playing each other home and away. There's no different opposition, there's no shifting. Everybody's playing the same team twice. So I think a lot of it is wide open. You're going to see some teams qualify because they've got 12 groups. The top two teams from each group qualify. So we're going from two match days done to four match days done. I think you're going to see a lot of the teams that are towards the top really just lock down their spot. But I think there's some groups where it's really still wide open. The one that you mentioned, I think is huge. In Benin and Rwanda, that's one that I've got my eye on. Senegal's been well ahead of the pack, but Mozambique has really, I think, outperformed expectation thus far. We've got that wide open. I've got Senegal 100% to qualify. They're almost through, but have it really nobody higher than 45-ish%. So that's a group I'm going to keep my eye on. Leaning Rwanda to make up that gap, but I think that remains to be seen also.
Yeah, I like it. What other groups have caught your eye? Maybe what we might want to do is kind of go through and just pick out kind of the leaders, right? And where things stand. Should we run through these groups, do you think?
Yeah, let's just give a quick rundown. I'm happy to go through. I've got all the numbers in front of me. So, Group A, we've got Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Sierra Leone, and Sao Tome. Nigeria is on 6 points, Guinea-Bissau on 4 points, Sierra Leone on one, and Sao Tome on zero. So, Nigeria and Guinea-Bissau have the lead there. Anything you expect to change in that order at all?
I would say no.
I would agree. I'm curious to see how Nigeria does. Just I feel like they are kind of getting, some of their players, just their performances. We mentioned Osimhen, we talked about Napoli a little bit. I'm curious to see how they continue to play, but yeah, Guinea-Bissau getting back again. It seems like they are an AFCON staple at this point.
Just on Nigeria real quick, there is one new call up for their team. He's gonna get his first cap, I guess. Bruno Onyemachi from he's playing with Ferença in Portugal. So he's a defender, decent player. We'll see if he gets any playing time, but just wanted to note he's a brand new call up for them.
Nice. Yeah, so I expect Nigeria to lock up. They could easily lock up a spot during this window. Their two matches are against who did I
Guinea,
lost them?
Guinea-Bissau.
Against Guinea-Bissau, yeah. So they only need a win and a draw from those two, and they'll lock up a spot at AFCON. So I expect them to punch their ticket. Sierra Leone could make some noise, but I think ultimately Guinea-Bissau will have enough to hold on. All right. Group B. We've got Burkina Faso on 6 points, Cape Verde on 3 points, Eswatini on 1 point, and Togo on 1 point. I think there's a little bit more space. I think Burkina Faso and Cape Verde, I'm expecting them really to be the better two teams here. Do you think either the other two can catch them? Or do you think it's going to be kind of a runaway for those two teams?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a runaway. I think it's going to be a runaway for those two teams. Yeah, Burkina Faso plays Togo. I can't see Togo getting a whole lot of points out of both either of those matches, right? And then Cape Verde play Eswatini. So yeah, I think it's those two, Burkina Faso and Cape Verde right now.
I would agree. I think we're going to see those two back there. And again, you could even see that qualification happen this window as well. So depending on the results. All right, Group C. I think Group C gets a little interesting. You've got Cameroon. This is a group that had Kenya drop out. So there are only three teams in this group, which two of the three will qualify. We've got Cameroon on 3 points. They've only played one match. We've got Burundi on 1 point. They've played two matches. We've got Namibia on 1 point. They've played one match. So Cameroon plays Namibia this window. They play them twice. And that will be the conclusion of their meetings. I think Cameroon will qualify. I don't think that's going out on a limb. but Burundi and Namibia, to me, is going to be an interesting battle, I think. Burundi's played two matches already, while Namibia's only played one match. But I think that either of those teams really could make it.
Yeah, it looks like a total toss-up right now. So, yeah, I'm going to fence sit on this one. And yeah, I agree with you. I think either team has an opportunity here.
Yeah, and for Burundi, they're a team that they've made the AFCON once in their history in 2019. That's the only time they've made it. So would be a little bit of an unusual team to see at AFCON should they be able to do it. Namibia has been there three times, not much better, but you're going to see, you know, more of an unusual team at AFCON coming out of this group. So our numbers lean Burundi a little bit, 68 to 32 roughly, but it definitely feels like that one could go either way. All right, so we move on to Group D. So Group D, we have Egypt on 3 points, Guinea on 3 points, Ethiopia on 3 points, and Malawi on 3 points. We're starting over. So I don't think people expected the standings to look like this after two matches. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think people were thinking that Egypt would probably be on top of this group by now. They've got two tough matches against Malawi coming up, which I don't think Malawi is the hardest team in this group, but Malawi is certainly punching. They beat Ethiopia for their win to give them the 3 points. So
yeah,
I think after these next two games, I think you might see this group kind of flip to how people would expect it to be.
I'm very interested to see how Egypt does, because to your point, right, Malawi, people forget they reached the knockout stage the last AFCON.
That's true. Yeah.
So
yeah. That's very true.
They have had success at AFCON. And you look at Guinea and Ethiopia, it's a tough group. It's not going to be a guarantee for Egypt. I think the fact that the top two qualify certainly works in their favor. Should they slip up, perhaps, you know, maybe they finish second in the group. But I think that they still should make it. But after that, it's a total guess, in my opinion. Guinea and Ethiopia, it'll be interesting to see if they are able to separate themselves from Malawi with them playing two against Egypt.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Malawi's team here. Only one player playing in Europe that's been called in, although they do have a player, Charles Petro, who plays for Sheriff Tiraspol in Moldova. but he doesn't look like he got called into this group. I'm wondering if he might be out injured. I'll have to look at that. But yeah, no, it's so even, you know, with a mostly domestic team, it's still pretty impressive that Malawi's, you know, been able to do.
Meanwhile, Guinea's got Europe players playing in Europe top to bottom. It's really just top to bottom.
It is
playing in Europe.
Yeah, it really is. But that's what makes me think, well, I don't know. I don't want to show bias, you know, because just because you're playing in Europe doesn't necessarily mean like, anyways, we're not going to go there, but yeah,
I'm interested to see with Egypt. They're a team that, like, I think you look at on paper, you expect them to perform better. They just had a tough draw in World Cup qualifying. They had a really strong AFCON showing. But it's been a little underwhelming. It's only been two games, but I think they'll show their quality this window is my expectation.
One player for Egypt that I've become more familiar with in recent weeks is Imam Ashour. I hope I said that right. I probably mutilated it. But anyways, he's playing for Midtjylland in Denmark. And I've been reasonably impressed with his, you know, with his level of play. I think he's been doing well. So he's a midfielder, and I think he'll see some playing time this window for Egypt. So we'll have to see how that goes. And obviously they've got, you know, Salah has been called in, guys like Marmoush, Mustafa Mohamed, right? Like, you know, a lot of the names, right?
So. I would say get the plan of get the ball to Salah is a good one.
I think that's a good plan. Yeah, that's a really good
plan. All right, let's move on to Group E. So, Group E, it feels like there's been some separation. So Ghana's on 4 points, Angola's on 4 points, Madagascar is on 1 point, and the Central African Republic is on 1 point. Madagascar has been making some noise in Africa over the last few cycles, but it feels like they're in a pretty sizable hole here. What are your thoughts on this group?
Yeah, I mean, a sizable hole, but one win, you know, changes that dynamic a little bit. But yeah, now it's tricky because the top two are playing each other in this group. So Ghana and Angola play each other this window, whereas Madagascar, you know, if they can get some wins against Central Africa, that puts them right back into the conversation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's interesting. Angola is one of those teams that, you know, we've kind of had, I think you and I both have kind of, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to recall that, you know, we were both kind of like, oh, Angola, like, look at them.
Like, yeah.
Here they, you know, kind of here they come a little bit. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Ghana, just real quick, want to mention that Ghana has called up Patrick Pozo from Sheriff Tiraspol again. Same team that we were just talking about in Moldova for the first time. He's a defender for them, so we'll see if he gets any playing time. But yeah, Ghana's, you know, we know what Ghana offers. They did all right at the World Cup, and they shouldn't have any real issues with this group, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with Ghana. I'm more optimistic on Angola. They're a team that's moved up in our rankings a pretty good amount recently. And I'm shocked that I'm just looking at these numbers for Angola to qualify. We have this at almost 87%, which to me, I'm like,
that feels high. Yeah, that feels high.
It does. Especially with two matches against Ghana still. So it feels high, but the one thing with Angola that I think is a little, not necessarily unique about Angola, but just really the connection with Portugal, and just it feels like they're dipping into that Portuguese pool a little more, with finding guys that are dual eligible for both Portugal and Angola. where you look at just some of the other countries in Africa and some of the potential dual nationals, you have a lot of French connections, right? So a lot of these players could play for France or they could play for some country in Africa. So there seems to be more of that French connection where I feel like the pool of players that do choose to play for these African countries or some of them get spread out a little bit more, where there aren't as many African countries with that Portuguese connection. So I feel like Angola's benefit a little bit because they do have that really that pipeline that they've leveraged, where guys like Helder Costa, that it's always connected to Portugal, now playing for Angola, and some others as well. So I think they're a team that it might be thinking about the roster a little bit differently. And I would keep an eye on. I think they're on the rise.
Agreed.
All right. Group F has Algeria on 6 points, Tanzania on 1 point, Uganda on 1 point, Niger on 2 points. Algeria is running away with this group, it appears. I don't think that's a surprise. What do you think about the rest of the group? Because this one feels like another one that's just, it could really go in any direction.
You're right. I don't know, to be honest. Algeria, I think, is by far and away, but I've seen various conversations, albeit on social media. I think Uganda actually has an opportunity here to maybe squeak in. I think Tanzania just from what I can gather is really struggling. So I wouldn't expect a ton from them. Niger on 2 points, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I think they're gonna have a really difficult time against Algeria. And I think that opens the door for Uganda, so
Yeah, because they still have to play Algeria twice, where the other two teams have already played them.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'd say right now I would say Uganda in that second spot, personally.
I think that's fair. I'm surprised again, our rankings like Tanzania a little bit more. We've got them at, lukewarm 48% favorite, with Uganda at around 32%. So,
That's a
hardly,
difference. Yeah.
it is, but hardly convincing. So, but they play each other twice. So I think I expect Niger to fall off. And I think those matches, those are ones that I highlighted, those two matches between Uganda and Tanzania. One interesting thing there, which I think has skewed the numbers a little bit in favor of Tanzania, is that the Uganda hosting match, they're playing in Egypt. So I've got that marked down as a neutral match as opposed to a Uganda home match. I think that's tilting the scales a little bit in Uganda's favor, but sorry, in Tanzania's favor, but I definitely feel like this is a group that's up for grabs.
A couple players for Uganda actually play over here in the States. You've got I'm gonna mutilate these. Steven Serwada plays for the Red Bulls. He's only 20 years old. And then you also got Bobosi Yaruhanga. He's 21. He plays for Austin FC. So just kind of a note for you and I guess, since we're over here. It's kind of interesting that, these players are getting the call. So it's,
All right. Let's keep moving through Africa. So Group G, we've got Mali on 6 points. We've got Gambia on 3 points, Congo on 3 points, and South Sudan yet to get off the zero. So,
is Congo a bit of a surprise for you right now in this group, do you think, or no?
No. I don't think they're I don't think it's too surprising. It's I mean, they lost to Mali 4-0,
Yeah.
but they did defeat Gambia.
The
So
Gambia, yeah.
it's they get those two against South Sudan, and I don't know. I mean, the opportunity is there for them. I don't think that they're a team that's been high on people's radar. I think Gambia has been a trendy pick. I mean, we've talked about Gambia a number of times. But yeah, I don't think Congo's really a team that's necessarily been on people's radar. But they're in the mix for sure. I think they easily could sneak in there as well.
Well, speaking of the Gambia, I have two notes on the Gambia. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay. So you know I'm big on trying to figure out who are the new call-ups, right?
Yes.
So the Gambia has two in their squad this window. One of them is Alphuseni Jatta, who's playing at RFS in Estonia or Latvia, one of those two countries. I forget. I think
Latvia.
it's Is it Latvia? Yeah. Okay. But also, this made me chuckle. So I don't know if you are familiar with who Marien Saar is, but he is an ex-Dortmund Academy player. He had a stint where he was like signed to the first team for Dortmund. I think he only ever made like five appearances, and then he just basically disappeared. Well, lo and behold, he's resurfaced. He's playing at Bonner in Germany, and I could not even tell you off the top of my head what division they're in, but I don't think it's the fourth. It must be like fifth division. I mean, we're talking like regional leagues
And
here.
now he's playing for the Gambia.
And now he's getting his first cap for the Gambia. So pretty incredible there. But no, I do kind of like I like the Gambia, but they're playing Mali this window, you know? So I just feel like it sets up Congo with a much better opportunity. But you know, the Gambia has been able to put together some results in the past. But I think it's gonna be tough against Mali. I think it's gonna be tough against Mali. Mali is by far and away the best team in this group
I
and
agree.
should easily qualify.
Yeah,
So
we've got Molly at 99.8% chance to
there you go.
qualify, so
There you go. The work.
should be easy.
Yeah, the work is already done.
Yeah.
It feels like.
I think the Gambia still gets it done. Favor them slightly, but definitely a team that, we've been watching for a while. Feels like they've brought in a lot of players that are gonna make a difference. All right. So Group H features the host Ivory Coast, who is on 4 points and playing in qualifying, even though they're already qualified. We'll get one additional team out of Group H. It's either going to be Zambia, who are currently on 3 points, Comoros, who are on 3 points, or Lesotho, which is on 1 point. Who do you like out of the other three? Like the Comoros was, they were at AFCON. They made a difference. And they certainly made a name for themselves. Do you think they're going to be able to get back, or do you think it's probably going to be Zambia?
Well, I'm gonna go with Zambia.
I think that's the safe pick.
That's I'm full of safe picks.
That's
So
okay. Zambia is always a team that I just cannot put my finger on because they're always at AFCON, right? Like they, with the exception of the last few versions, because they've fallen off a little bit. But prior to that, they had been at 13 of 14 AFCONs, which is remarkable. And they're, in third place, they're in second place. They won it in 2012. They've fallen off a little bit, but they can't get to the World Cup, and it seems like they're almost never really a factor in World Cup qualifying. So just balancing those two things has been, I don't understand how they have not had more success, but I feel like they're ready to get back to AFCON. They're a team that's almost always there. I feel like they should be back at AFCON.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm actually in the process of pulling up their team, and I'm looking at Comoros right now too. So it's just interesting because it's just interesting to see where some of these players play, right? Like Comoros, you'd never think, but then maybe you should because of the French connection, right? But they've got players at Marseille, right? Lens, Waalwijk in the Netherlands, right? Dijon.
Yeah, they play at pretty good places.
Yeah, they do. Nîmes, Auxerre, right? Kortrijk in Belgium. So it's just it's just interesting to look at these players. I'm pulling up Zambia right now because I just want to see.
Yeah, I would like to see more from Patson Daka on the international stage.
Yeah, me too.
He's just a name that, like, I'm expecting to see become more of that star player for Zambia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think it's happened just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, him and I would say Fashion Sakala as well. I think the both of those, I think those are both pretty solid players, right? One's at Leicester and one's at Rangers, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And this goes back to kind of what you're saying, right? It's like Zambia, they just sometimes it feels like they just really struggle to put it together when maybe they shouldn't be. So, yeah.
I think they make it. I'm going to pick them ahead of Comoros.
All right. I'm sticking with it as well.
All right. Group I, we have this. Now this one is the one that I've been waiting for. So we've got Gabon on 4 points. We've got Mauritania on 4 points. We've got Sudan on 3 points. And we've got Congo DR on 0 points, dead last in the group.
Isn't that crazy?
Man. That is crazy. And you look back at the draw, they were in pot one. And that is, I mean, they're dead last. And they've got a ton of work to do. And not much time to do it. So, what do you think is going on with that team? Like, one, do you think they can dig themselves out of that hole? Two, what's the problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they're a decent team. They're 4 points behind from the leaders, 3 points behind from third place. I mean, yeah, that's tough. I think that might be too big of a hole to overcome, if I'm being honest. I don't like that. I don't think I like their chances at all. You know, they're playing Mauritania twice this window. That's the group leaders right now. Yeah. So if they can get results,
I think they have to have 2 wins. Honestly.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know that a win and a draw is enough for them. It's been very poor, which is just surprising coming from that team how they've just really, really fallen off. Another team that was almost a mainstay at AFCON. You know, prior to 2021, they were at the previous four AFCONs, they finished third in 2015, and they've just fallen off tremendously. And this one just always baffles me. Like, it is a huge country. It's a huge country. And, you know, they've got, I'm just browsing the population of, it's 111 million. I mean, it is a massive country, and they just can't get it together. And it's shocking to me. It's really shocking to me. And it's interesting. They've called in against new players that we'll see if they get any playing time. They've got a lot of inexperienced players. I think they've hit the panic button. Like, it, to me, looking at this roster and who's included, it feels to me like they're just saying, look, this is, you know, we need to change it up tremendously and see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah. Looking at that as well. It's, and maybe it will work, you know, who knows? Right. It's like the meme, right? They're like looking for the staples button, right? So yeah, maybe it'll work. But you, if you're Mauritania or Gabon, you have to be, you know, and even Sudan, you have to be happy with where you're at right now. Right.
Absolutely.
You have a better shot than, you know, a team that was on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup a year ago. So.
Yeah, it is remarkable that, you know, they made it that far. They were tied heading into the second leg of qualifying for the World Cup. So, yeah, it feels like it's too far of a road for them, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they have, you know, changed things up and get a whole different pool of players and change it up. But for me, I think it's Gabon and Mauritania. I think Gabon's got the best chances in this group, but I think Mauritania is playing well enough to hang on to that second spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Group J, Tunisia on 4 points, Equatorial Guinea on 3 points, Libya on 3 points, Botswana on 1 point. Another one where I'm just looking at the numbers. I've got Tunisia at 99% to qualify and Equatorial Guinea at almost 91%. The Equatorial Guinea is a team that I wanted to talk about a little bit. You know, we talked about Tunisia a lot, obviously, around the World Cup, but Equatorial Guinea is a team that I've been looking at a good amount recently. They've really climbed a lot in our rankings, and they've gotten to the point where I've been doing some projections for World Cup 2026. Obviously, the Confederation spots are expanding. Africa is going to get 9 teams, I believe.
Wait a second. Are you about to tell me that Equatorial Guinea is in your predictions to qualify?
I'm going to tell you that.
What?
I'm going to tell you that. I couldn't believe it. They've moved up that far in our rankings.
Wow.
That they are now within, you know, above that threshold of they could qualify. So I don't know. That's a team that I'm going to be watching because I really have not paid a lot of attention to Equatorial Guinea. But that just surprised me seeing how far they moved up. So they play 2 against Botswana. I'm definitely curious to see how they do, and definitely a team that I'm going to keep my eye on.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting.
Yeah, they've got that Spanish connection. So they're kind of like how I was talking about Angola and their connection to Portugal.
Right.
Equatorial Guinea has that connection that there's like no other African teams that have that connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, Spain obviously is a huge producer of talent, and there are a lot of players with connections to Equatorial Guinea. So I really feel like they've taken advantage of that, and definitely a team I'm going to be keeping my eye on.
Yeah, for sure. Just again, pulling up their squad, a lot of their players looks like they're playing in the second division in Spain, right? So you got players at Las Palmas, Murcia, Fuenlabrada, right? Like these are all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting.
Iban Edu has been. It feels like he's been around forever, but he kind of burst onto the scene at AFCON, you know, a few years back where they finished fourth place when they were the hosts. But he's been around on Equatorial Guinea at this point for 7-8 years. I mean, he's 27 now, but he's been there for a while. They're a team that I think could make some noise. They went to the quarterfinals of AFCON last year also. So
yeah,
definitely in my mind a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah. They have a player that plays for Sandefjord in Norway. Interesting. I'll have to do some research on him. That's interesting. Yes. Cool.
All right. Two more groups to go. All right. We've got Group K. So Group K has 3 teams. So Zimbabwe dropped out. Morocco is already on 6 points. They effectively need 1 point to qualify at this point.
Yeah. And they don't have any games this window, I don't think.
No.
They're actually playing Brazil in a friendly.
So. Yeah. So even if I think if South Africa and Liberia both draw twice, I believe they. Wait a second. Yeah. So do they. Yeah. If South Africa and Liberia both draw twice, Morocco's in. Or if one of those teams wins twice, Morocco's in. And if one of those teams loses and draws, Morocco's in. So basically anything other than South Africa winning 1 and Liberia winning 1, Morocco's going to qualify without even playing. So they should be in. But what do you think about that South Africa-Liberia matchup? On paper, it feels like South Africa should dominate.
I seem to remember that these two countries, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like they've matched up here recently. But yeah, I think it's important for South Africa to get back to an AFCON. And I think this is an opportunity for them. Liberia is obviously going to have something to say about that, but just I don't know much about the Liberian national team, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I know more about the South African national team. And so I know, I know that South Africa definitely wants to be there. I know that's been a focus of their, of their federation, is trying to get back to that. So yeah, I do like South Africa, but they tend to let me down. So we'll see, but I am hoping.
I think they'll not let you down this time around.
That's good. Yeah, I am hoping that they'll find a way. They have called in eight brand new domestic based players that don't have any caps at all for this window. So, that's interesting. South Africa has one of the strongest domestic leagues in Africa, regularly challenging for the African Champions League titles. So, anyways, we'll see.
All right. And then the last group, Group L. So we've got Senegal on 6 points. We've got Mozambique on 4 points. We've got Rwanda on one and Benin on zero. We kind of started off with it. This group, we're gonna finish with it as well. So I mean, I expect Senegal to run away with this group. I think if they drop any points, honestly, I would probably be a little surprised. What do you think about the rest of the group? Between Rwanda, Mozambique, Benin. It feels like there's some opportunity for this one to be wide open as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially because Mozambique's going to be playing Senegal, right? I think we already talked about that, but I actually am going to stick with them. I think I like what I've seen so far from Mozambique, and I think they're going to qualify.
Yeah, this one is one that we have even less confidence in than the Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda. We've got it about 41%, Mozambique at 36%, Benin at 22%. So, it's a total toss up. Mozambique does have that advantage now. This could be one where goal difference comes into play. But the tiebreaker is basically your points against the tied team. So I think Mozambique also has that working in their favor that they've already secured 4 points against the non-Senegal opposition. So the numbers lean Rwanda, but I think I'm going to stick with Mozambique and say they also hang on and ultimately finish second in this group.
Nice.
Cool. So, a lot going on in Africa. It's been since last June since these teams have played, and we're certainly going to see some more teams qualify in this window, and probably some teams get eliminated as well. Currently, all the teams playing have not, at least, have a non-zero chance of qualifying. But based on what happens this window, I think that's likely to change, where some teams are just too far behind to stay in it. Okay.
So I think next, what we wanted to talk about was CONCACAF Nations League.
Yes.
So we're gonna bring it home, so to speak.
Yes. So the CONCACAF Nations League, there's a lot going on, most notably because CONCACAF has changed what's happening in the Nations League since the last match day of the Nations League. So currently there's 12 teams in League A. There are 16 teams in League B, and there are 13 teams in League C. That is not how the allocation is going to be going forward. League B is going to be keeping 16 teams, but League A is going to be picking up four teams. So League A is going to be expanding to 16 teams. and League C is going to be shrinking down to 9 teams. Before we get into the logistics there, what do you think of that change? Because I think we've talked about that a little bit, and it's something I was really a big proponent of CONCACAF doing and hoping they would do. So I was pretty excited about that change. But what do you think about the change to expand League A?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good change. Yeah, you explained pretty well in previous shows the benefits of that and the potential opportunity to make for some stronger groups. So yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. What,
Yeah.
I'll repeat the question to you. What, I mean, you're clearly excited for it.
Yeah, I think just to bring up some of the points that we had made in the past, the teams at the bottom in CONCACAF tend to be pretty far below that next level of team. I think we've seen UEFA do something similar where they've shrunk League D. There is a pretty decent gap between some of the teams at the bottom that just are developing and not at the level yet where they're as competitive. So League C really in this Nations League has been not dramatic at all. And then I think League A, where you've got groups of three teams and you've got two teams qualifying from each group for the Gold Cup directly, it feels like those groups also haven't been as competitive. And so I think evening out the groups and bring some more strong teams into League A, hopefully give some of those teams at the top a little bit more of a challenge. I don't think you're gonna lose quality out of League B. League B has been by far the best league in the Nations League thus far, in this iteration. So I think keeping those teams that get promoted, which looks like it's going to be Bonaire, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia and Puerto Rico, moving those teams in League B is not going to dilute the quality of League B at all, in my opinion. So I am a big proponent of the change.
Nice. Yeah, well, I'm excited to see how it pans out. I think I mean, it sounds really good to me, and if it makes for more competitive games, which is what you want,
Yeah, absolutely.
then I think I'm all for it. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's
So the next iteration of the Nations League is going to be interesting now. So as we mentioned, since the last match day, CONCACAF has now said there's not going to be any relegation. So the way that they're going to get to that 16-team League A, 16-team League B, nobody in League A relegated. The four winners from League B are going to get promoted to League A. And then nobody's going to get relegated from League B to League C, and the four winners from League C are going to get promoted to League B. So everybody's just going to shift up one league. So no relegation this time around. But really, what's interesting about how they've changed the Nations League for the next iteration, which so we're currently in the 22-23 iteration. It's a little bit unlike UEFA because the next iteration is next year. It's back to back. So next year is going to be the 23-24 Nations League. It's actually going to start in September, but it's tied to Copa America qualifying. And so that's the real big change. And I think the way that the Nations League is going to work is going to be a little bit different in this iteration versus how it's supposed to look going forward. With Copa America in 24, CONCACAF and CONMEBOL announced the partnership where six teams are going to come out of CONCACAF and join the 10 CONMEBOL teams for a 16-team Copa America in the United States. That's going to take place in 2024. And so CONCACAF has decided to use the Nations League, this 23-24 Nations League, as that qualification process, essentially. So what CONCACAF is going to do is, following the conclusion of this Nations League, which we'll talk about in a minute, they are going to use their ranking, which it bugs me to this day that they don't publish the formula. They've mentioned they published the formula. I haven't seen the formula. It's a black box. I don't like that. They publish the ranking. They've alluded to it being similar to a FIFA ranking process, but it's a secret formula that CONCACAF uses. So what they're going to do is, following the conclusion of this March Nations League window, they're going to take the top four teams and they're going to put them into into what they're calling the quarterfinals, the Nations League quarterfinals. So they're going to get a bye. It's most likely going to be Mexico, the United States, Costa Rica, and Canada, unless something dramatic changes, but it's most likely to be those four teams. The other 12 teams in the Nations League, CONCACAF, you know, typically if you have a 16-team league, they're going to break it into four groups of four. CONCACAF is not doing that. So what they're doing is they're putting those best four teams into the quarterfinals. They're then taking the other 12 teams that are going to be in League A and putting them into two groups of six. So they're going to have it's not going to be a true round robin, unfortunately, just with the schedule. They can't figure it out where the teams could each play five games. So these teams are going to play four games each. The top two teams from each group. So remember, four teams are in the quarterfinals. The top two teams from each group will also join those other four teams in the quarterfinals. So it's going to be awesome. Like, I'm really looking forward to that League A competition because it's a small set of games and you're going to see some teams move up from League B. And I think it's going to be a really good competition to see which four teams join those top four. So once you get to those quarterfinals where you're down to eight teams, they're going to play home and away legs. So the first four matchups, those quarterfinals, the four winners are going to qualify for the Copa America. They're also going to advance to the Nations League finals. And then the four losers from those matches are going to play two more home and away matches to determine the other two teams that join the Copa America. So the top four essentially get a bye to the last round, and then the two best teams from the Nations League that takes place this fall are going to also have a chance to qualify for the Copa America. So you have to be in League A to qualify for the Copa America. Absolutely mandatory. There's no way to get there. The League B teams, they will get promoted should they win, but the teams cannot qualify for the Copa America without being in League A. So that's a lot there, but it makes this CONCACAF Nations League that much more important because now not only these teams in League B are they playing for a promotion, they have to win their group to get a chance to qualify for the Copa America. So League B, I think of all the qualifiers, that conclusion of League B is going to be super exciting because that's the only chance those teams have to get to Copa America. So a lot there. What are your thoughts?
So I'm looking at in Group B, in League B, I'm looking at the leaders. So right now, Cuba and Guadeloupe are actually tied on 9 points in Group A. Haiti's leading Group B on 10 points, Nicaragua on 10, Trinidad's right behind them on 9, Group C. Group D, French Guiana's 10, Guatemala's on 7. Guatemala's on 7. Man, that's interesting. That'd be I feel like Guatemala is one of those countries that should probably be in League A, right? But we've talked about them. They've kind of fallen from grace a little bit. So that's interesting. But
yeah. And some of the other teams, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers and, you know, Antigua and Barbuda, I've got it 2% to win their group in League B, which it feels harsh, but they're on 6 points. They're only 3 points behind Cuba and Guadeloupe. And guess who they're playing?
Guadeloupe.
They're playing Guadeloupe, but they're also hosting Barbados. And if they pick up 3 points there, beat Guadeloupe, I mean, you never know. So there's a lot to play for in League B, and I'm really excited, I think, for this more so than any of the other qualifying, just because so much is at stake here.
Well, we know where you're going to be tuned into this
not only do teams get promotion and a chance to play for the Copa America, if they win their group, they also qualify for the Gold Cup. So CONCACAF couldn't have put more at stake in League B. So a lot to play for there. What do you think about these teams? Who are you picking to win the groups in League B? So we've got in Group A, Cuba on 9, Guadeloupe on 9, Antigua on 6. Who do you think emerges and wins that one?
I'm going to say Guadeloupe.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. Group B, I'm going to stick with Haiti.
Yeah, Haiti seems to be in control. They've got a 4-point lead on Guyana.
Yeah.
And Bermuda is 6 points back. So yeah. Haiti needs one win to lock that up. So yeah. I think they're looking pretty good there.
Plus their team that qualified for CONCACAF Champions League.
Oh yeah.
decided that they were gonna
beat Austin.
Yeah. Okay.
Wild.
That was really wild. Never in all my days would I expect to see that, but that's great. That's why we love it.
Nicaragua on 10, Trinidad on 9.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say Trinidad. I'm gonna say. That's tough. Yeah. That's real tough.
It is. And of course, the final match day, Trinidad's hosting Nicaragua.
Yeah, of course. That's the one of our that's one to watch for sure. I'm gonna say Trinidad.
I like Trinidad also. I think they have that home advantage, so I'll lean with them. And then French Guiana, 10 points. Guatemala, 7 points.
French
Does Guatemala have enough? Because Guatemala, of course, the last day, you'll be shocked to find out. Guatemala is hosting French Guiana.
Oh, of course they are. Oh man, yeah, that's tough. French Guiana, man, they've put together, a decent. Were they in the last Gold Cup?
I think they were.
They're kind of like right there on that line, yeah. Right? Like they like to sit there. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with them. Which is kind of unfortunate because. Well, not unfortunately. It's not unfortunate, but Guatemala, like I was saying, they've kind of fallen and they actually I like their goalkeeper. He plays over in Norway for the team called Hamkam, which is an awesome name. And he's put in some good performances.
That's why you are the best in the business. You have that Guatemala Norway connection known.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
leaning French Guiana also. Our numbers for both those last two have essentially both of them 50-50. So it is gonna be interesting. We didn't mention also the team that finishes second in the group goes to the Gold Cup playoffs. So the four winners will qualify directly. They're gonna join 8 teams out of League A, which mm-hmm. will qualify. So the top two in each League A group will qualify. So there's 12, but those second place teams in League B are going to effectively compete with the last place teams from League A for those Gold Cup spots. So even for a team like Antigua or a team like even Bermuda, which Bermuda, we said Haiti's pretty much a lock, but I mean, and Montserrat, I guess also, I mean, you look at, Guyana, Bermuda and Montserrat.
Yeah.
Guyana's on 6 points, Bermuda's on 4 points, Montserrat's on 3 points. It matters who finished the second. So still a lot to play for there. So League B is definitely one I'm gonna keep an eye on.
Yeah, no, I like that. I don't know how many storylines there really are coming out of League A or necessarily League C for that matter. So I guess that there were a few things that I wanted to say specifically actually about Curaçao. So mm-hmm. Curaçao is in League A, and we've talked about them in the past, and they're really going after these dual national players, right? Mm-hmm. So I was looking at that earlier today, and there's one player in particular that stood out to me because I recognized him from his days playing at Ajax, and obviously Curaçao being a former Dutch colony, right? Mm-hmm. There's that real strong Dutch connection, and that's where they're pulling a lot of their dual nationals from. But if any of you are familiar with Ricardo Zivkovic, he used to play for Ajax. I remember watching him play, and he's kind of traveled throughout his career, and I guess he's decided that he's going to represent Curaçao now. So He's been called up to their team for this window. He's currently playing at FC Emmen in the Netherlands. So that's kind of an exciting little little storyline that Curaçao has going on there. But there's also five other players that Curaçao's brought in this window that don't have any caps with them and that are all basically dual nationals that they're going to try to cap. So I'll just mention the clubs. I won't say the names of the players, but you've got a player from Ado Den Haag, also Netherlands team, Hapoel Tel Aviv in Israel, Lokomotiv Plovdiv, that's Bulgaria, Antalyaspor Turkey, and then Dordrecht, that's another Dutch club. So they're really scouring the planet to try to find, you know, these players who could represent them and try to take their team to the next level. So.
Yeah, and they were disappointing in the Nations League for me. They're still technically not out of it, but they've got a really small chance of even finishing second and qualifying for the Gold Cup. But that first matchup, losing at home to Honduras, who Honduras is a team that we have not been fond of.
And yet they sit. Yeah, but they are sitting first in that group, which is
they are. Crazy. They are. And it's that I also think is a reason why CONCACAF wanted to get away from these three team groups, because you've right that Honduras Curaçao battle. Honduras beats Curaçao and the group's effectively over.
Yeah.
Like Curaçao did get them back on the road. But they got destroyed by Canada. So I guess, I mean, technically there is an opportunity for Curaçao, but they would really need Canada to probably beat up on Honduras, and then they need to beat Canada. So, and Honduras beat Canada also, which is just shocking. It's that group has not gone how I thought it would, but Curaçao still has a chance. They'll at worst go to the Gold Cup playoffs. So, you know, Gold Cup playoffs, you know, they'll be in League A and fighting for those Copa America spots also. So they still have a lot to play for. So even though, you know, it may not be Nations League, bringing those players in and trying them out, it's like, this is a good time because they effectively have nothing to play for now. But they will very soon.
Yeah. In that group, right, we mentioned Honduras and Canada. Honduras, they didn't bring anybody new this window. All the players that they brought in have been players that have been called up before. So that's just kind of an interesting note, especially because you and I have talked about how we feel like they're regressing, for lack of a better word, even though they sit in first in their group. Canada, on the other hand, Canada has brought in a couple players. So I just want to mention them real quick. So Tommy McGill, he's a goalkeeper for Brighton. I think that's a good nab for them. This will be his first cap. They've also brought in a guy named Dominik Zator. He plays in Poland. He's a defender. He plays for Corona Kielce. I think I said that right. Not 100% sure. And then the one that's most interesting to me is Victor Loturi, who is playing in Ross County, which is a team that's a club in Scotland. He's a midfielder. He just moved there from Calvary FC. That's where he spent his youth as well. But he's a dual national. He could have represented South Sudan. And actually, South Sudan called him up this window.
Wow.
It appeared that he did accept that call. And then a week later, I guess, and this is fairly recent, I think this was last week, he had a change of heart and decided that he was going to represent Canada instead. So kind of interesting there that he's getting pulled by both nations. So, yeah.
All right. Nothing sticks out really in League C for me. I think they're pretty settled. Group B has a little bit of drama between St. Kitts and Nevis and Aruba. So Aruba is still in it. St. Kitts and Nevis has a game in hand, and they do play Aruba and St. Martin. So I think it's probably unlikely that Aruba can make some noise there, but something to keep an eye on. The other groups are already Group C and Group D are settled, and Bonaire only needs really one result to advance. So not as much, League B is definitely where the action's at. But it will be interesting in League A to see some of those teams that might use this window as an opportunity more to just kind of shore up some spots, try out some new players, where there might not be as much at stake. So so that is CONCACAF, and a lot more to come. The CONCACAF has made a number of changes as well to the World Cup qualifying process, and with the integration now with Copa America, a lot going on, a lot changing in CONCACAF. And I always like these transition periods. It's kind of like in my mind when they started the Nations League first, when they just had that huge table and they just said, whatever happens, you guys figure it out. We'll order all your teams. And it was just a free for all, and it was awesome. Like it's just when those things, happen, and you don't know what's going to happen, and there's big implications, and it's down to one or two matches, it just makes it that much more exciting. So I think CONCACAF is doing the right things and headed in the right direction to really try to build the competition, because we're going to have the same conversation about CONCACAF that we've had in the past. It's a little bit different now. It's like, okay, we have United States and Mexico. Who else is going to step up? And Canada did. And, again, not to diminish any of the accomplishments of Panama and Costa Rica. They belong there. They're in that same level of strong CONCACAF teams. But how do we get some of those other teams really involved, like Curaçao, like, some of these other teams that are really kind of right on that next level of CONCACAF team? How do we get them more competitive and continuing to push them against the better teams, and do things like, okay, now you could play in the Copa America. Now you can, play stronger teams in the Nations League, and teams that are more, consistent with your strength. I think they're doing the right things to try to continue to build some of that next tier of team to make it more competitive.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think it's all positive. I like it. I like the direction they're going. So, a few other quick notes. I know we didn't really touch a lot on South America or Asia. And also, before we go there, real briefly, just sticking with CONCACAF, just wanted to note Mexico has their new national team coach, in Diego Cocha. Maybe that's how you say it. So he's Argentinian, but he's got a lot of experience in Liga MX. He was coaching Atlas for a while. He was the coach for Tigres up until here recently, and then it looks like Mexico snatched him from Tigres. You've kind of followed him a little bit, I think. What are your thoughts on him?
I think it's a good choice. I think that Mexico is, I don't know, I think they need somebody that really is going to push them. But I think hiring someone who is familiar with Mexico and Liga MX, and I think it's a good move. I don't know if it's a long-term move, so I think we'll see if that's ultimately where they stay. But I think if you're looking for a guy that kind of fits, if you're looking for a guy, I think checks a lot of boxes. I think he's that guy. He's been around. He's familiar with Mexico. He's had success, and so I think it's a good step for him. He's another guy, again, has not coached the national team level, but he's got a lot of familiarity, which I think will help them, and he's had success as a coach, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's gonna be interesting to watch Mexico now and see what they do and see how, because as you said, he's familiar with their league. I think that was something that they were looking for. But also quote unquote a foreign coach, right? So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I did also want to take a moment and just mention a few other national team coaches that have been brought in. You may have heard about some of these. One of them might give you a slight chuckle, because it certainly did for us as well, I think. But we're actually going to go back to Africa for a second. And Chris Hughton is the new coach of Ghana. So you may be familiar with him. He's coached a lot in England. Hector Cooper is the new coach for Syria. He's a well-known name amongst national teams. He's been around the block for sure. Yeah.
And I like that hire because I think that's Syria is like the right type of team for a guy like that, where they, especially with the World Cup expanding teams, they're a team that legitimately could be thinking about, can we make it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bringing in a guy with that much experience, I think is good if you're looking for, like, that's our goal line, is we want to get to the World Cup. And I think he could make some noise. We'll see.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like it. I like it. Carlos Quiroz, new coach of Qatar. And then Jurgen Klinsmann is the new coach of South Korea. Let's talk about Klinsmann just briefly.
You did say it might give you a chuckle.
It gave me a chuckle. It did give me a chuckle, and I'm very curious. I haven't listened to the Taeguk podcast recently, but I'm sure that they're splurging all about it on there. So I'll have to catch up on there at some point in time. But what's your quick take on that?
I am not a huge fan of it. I think he is a guy that has. I feel like he has been out of the game for a while, and I think he had a good career that, you know, away from coaching. Obviously it's probably something that's always been in his mind coming back to. But I don't really like that hire, for South Korea. I for a team that's had a lot of success at the World Cup, and I think really needs a push to take that next step. I don't know if he is the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree, actually. Not a huge fan of that hire. I did actually like some of the things that he did for the US while he was here. But Korea is different, and yeah, I don't know. It's not a huge fan, I guess. That's mm-hmm. really all I want to say. So
yeah, the one thing that I think is not necessarily a bad fit, which I think when we talked about Korea, even just coming out of the World Cup, was, you know, they're on the older side, just that team in general, mm-hmm. And they haven't really had a huge influx of young talent. And I think Klinsmann is going to be really always looking for that opportunity of, like, who could I find? Where could we, you know, just, you know, do something different? That I think for a team like Korea, where if you're thinking about, you know, the next World Cup cycle, and, you know, they're going to make the World Cup, but, you know, the Asian Cup as well, how do you kind of turn that page? I think he might be a good maybe bridge to say, let's you know, find some of that talent and really bring in some of these new players and see how they work. I think he might, you know, be a good person to do that for them.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. Last piece, and maybe we save this for the next episode because we are running really long. but they're actually they did reveal actually I'm drawing a blank here. I thought, never mind. All right. We'll cut that out. I was thinking, I thought somebody just released the new World Cup qualifying format.
I know CONCACAF did. I didn't see any.
Okay. All right. Let's not worry about it tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, I'll edit that out. So we'll start from the top. I'll just kind of close this out here.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, that's kind of a wrap for our episode tonight. Thanks everybody for listening. Once again, if you're interested in following us on our social media, which we promise we're going to try to do more with, it's at @WindowIntlPod. On Twitter, but you can also follow Brandon @we_global, and you can follow me @12thYank. We hope you enjoy this international break. We're looking forward to it. There's some really exciting games going on, a lot of fresh starts for a lot of teams, a lot of opportunities to qualify. It's going to be great. So looking forward to it. So thanks everyone. Brandon, thank you.
Thank you, Jill. And thanks everyone as well for listening.